The Memorandum by Václav Havel. Translated and adapted by Vera Blackwell and abridged for radio by Susan Marling. With Michael Gambon as Gross and Ian Richardson as Ballas. The Memorandum.
Rako hatu di dakotu ili tri bomu I mushoi vodka yad stro rendi grik kendi avik yid dezu knivdu fer kendu seli thick step batrop g. Are you here?
Yes, we are.
I didn't hear you come in.
We entered quietly.
What's up?
We've come to ask your advice, Mr. Gross.
Go on.
Where should Mr. Pillar record the incoming mail?
Couldn't be more obvious, Mr. Ballas. In the incoming mail book.
It's full, isn't it, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
And we have no means to get a new one.
What do you mean, no means? As far as I recall, a purchase of 2 incoming mail books was budgeted for this quarter.
It was, but in accordance with the new economy drive, all budgeted expenditures were cut by half, with the result that we were able to purchase only 1 incoming mail book, which is, as I've just mentioned, full. Isn't it, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
Here, buy yourself a new one.
We thank you, Mr. Gross. Thank you very much.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Gross?
Can you tell me by any chance what this is?
Well, this is a very important office memorandum, Mr. Gross.
Looks like a hodgepodge of entirely haphazard groups of letters.
It might look that way at first glance. It's written in Patidipi, you see.
In what?
In Patidipi.
In Patidipi? What is it?
A new office language which is being introduced into our organisation. May I go and get the milk?
There's a new language being introduced into our organisation? Who thought it out?
Seems to be a full-scale campaign. Elsie said it's being introduced into their department, too.
Does my deputy realise what's going on?
Mr. Ballas? Of course he does. May I go and get the milk?
Run along.
Thank you, Mr. Gross.
Fix de Batropka. Fix de Batropka. Are you here again?
We've come to tell you that we've just purchased a brand new incoming mail book. It's lying on Mr. Pilar's desk, isn't it, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
Good.
But the Department of Authentication doesn't want to authenticate it.
Why not?
The new book hasn't been registered by the purchasing department on account of its not having been purchased with the department's funds. So legally, it doesn't exist, does it, Mr. P?
Uh-uh.
You'll say I asked them to authenticate it on my personal responsibility. My position is solid now. I think I can afford to do that.
Excellent. Would you mind giving it to us in writing? It'll simplify things a great deal.
I would. I don't mind taking risks, but I'm not a gambler. A verbal order will have to do.
Well, then, we must try to talk them into accepting it. Mr. P, let's go.
Just a moment, Mr. Ballas.
Yes, Mr. Gross.
Do you know anything about a new language?
I think I've heard about it. I seem to recall Mr. Pillar told me about it some time ago, didn't you, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
Mr. Ballas, you are my deputy, aren't you?
Yes.
Well, then, I didn't order it. So it could only have been you. Do you realise you ought to consult me on such matters?
We didn't want to bother you with trifles.
What's the purpose of introducing this new language?
Apparently it is just an experiment. It's supposed to make office communications more accurate and introduce precision and order into their terminology. Am I putting it correctly, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
Well, I'm far from happy about it. You'll have to find some way to stop the whole thing at once. We don't want to be somebody's guinea pig, do we?
Good morning, Mr. Ballas.
All right, I'll cancel my directive and try to retrieve all the texts that have been sent out so far, and I'll have them translated back into natural language. Good morning.
Kindly do that.
We don't want to be somebody's guinea pig, do we?
Exactly.
Mr. P, let's go.
Uh-huh.
Well, thank God I've nipped it in the bud. Did they seriously think that anyone would want to learn this gibberish?
Special Patidipi classes have been set up for all departments.
Indeed. Has anybody joined them?
Everybody except you, Mr. Gross.
Really?
It was an order.
Whose order?
Mr. Ballas's. And a Patidipi translation centre has been set up, but it's supposed to be only temporary until everybody has learnt Patidipi.
A translation centre? Where on earth do they find room for it all?
The translation centre is on the first floor, room 6.
Oh, but that's the accounts department.
Oh, the accounts department has been moved to the cellar. May I go and get the rolls?
Oh, that's too much.
May I go and get the rolls?
Run along.
Thank you.
Now what?
Mr. Gross, I'm afraid you'll have to give us the order in writing after all.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
It'll be in your own interest.
What do you mean, in my own interest?
If you'll give it to us in writing, you'll greatly simplify the work of our clerical staff. And in view of the rumours which have lately been circulating amongst them, it would certainly be a good tactical move on your part. Am I not right, Mr. P?
Uh-huh. What rumours?
Ooh, about that unfortunate rubber stamp.
A rubber stamp? What rubber stamp?
Apparently, during the last inventory, it transpired that you are in the habit of taking the bank endorsement stamp home for your children to play with.
Well, that's ridiculous. Of course I've taken that particular rubber stamp home a few times, but not as a plaything. There are nights when I have to take my work home in order to get it all done.
You don't have to explain it to us, Mr. Gross. But you know how people are.
And you think this bit of paper you want would smooth things over?
I'll guarantee you that.
All right, then. As far as I'm concerned, have it typed and I'll sign it.
Mr. P, here you are, Mr. Gross. Thank you, Mr. Gross. We thank you very much in the name of our whole organization.
Mr. Ballas?
Yes, Mr. Gross.
Have you cancelled the introduction of Potidope?
Not yet.
Why not?
Well, you see, we've just been waiting for the right moment. There doesn't seem to be the right sort of atmosphere among the authorities for this move just now.
Now, that's just an excuse. You've bypassed me. You've moved the accounts department to the cellar. You've organized classes. You've set up a translation center. You've made the study of Potidope obligatory for all staff members.
Outside their working hours.
That's beside the point.
Perhaps it is, perhaps it isn't. In any case, at this point, we are not concerned with anything but the good of our organization, are we, Mr. P?
Uh-uh.
Naturally. We hold the same critical attitude towards Potidope that you do, Mr. Gross. Only we think that if we can manifest certain limited initiative, it'll be a great help to our whole organization. Who knows? This very initiative may become the basis on which we might be granted that snack bar which we have been trying to get for so long. Imagine, our staff would no longer have to travel all that way to get their cuppa.
All right. It's quite possible that in this way we might indeed get the snack bar. But let's be quite blunt with each other for a while, shall we?
Shall we accept, Mr. P?
Uh-huh.
I accept.
I'm not against precision in official communications, but I'm for it only insofar as it humanizes man. If we take from man his human language, we shall have prevented him from becoming fully human. For this reason, I can never agree to the introduction of Potidope into our organization.
Are you prepared to risk an open conflict?
I place the struggle for the victory of reason and of moral values above of peace brought by their loss.
It seems he's not yet ripe for realistic discussion. We've overrated him. Never mind. Let's give him... What do you say, Mr. P? An hour?
Uh-huh.
Time is on our side. You'll be sorry. Let's go.
Unheard of. Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Gross?
Do you know Potidope?
No, I don't.
Then how did you know that this was an official memorandum?
Well, they say that in the first stage, Potidope was used only for important official memoranda, and that these are now being received by some of the staff.
What are these memos about?
Well, they're supposed to inform the recipients about decisions based on the findings of the last inventory in their departments.
Indeed. What sort of decisions?
Oh, all sorts, it seems. Very positive and very negative ones.
Oh, damn that rubber stamp. Where on earth did you learn all this?
In the dairy shop this morning.
Where did you say the translation centre is?
First floor, room 6. To get to it, one must go through the Potidope classroom.
Ah, yes. Former accounts department. Well, I'm off to lunch.
You'll like it, Mr. Gross. They have goose in the canteen today.
Good morning.
Morning. Morning.
Let us begin our lesson with a definition. Potidope is a synthetic language built on a strictly scientific basis. Its grammar is constructed with maximum rationality. Its vocabulary is unusually broad. It's a thoroughly exact language, capable of expressing with far greater precision than any current natural tongue all the minutest nuances in the formulation of important office documents. The most serious deficiency of the natural languages is their utter unreliability, which results from the fact that their basic structural units, words, are highly equivocal and interchangeable. The significant aim of this language is to limit all similarities between individual words to produce a degree of precision quite unattainable in any natural language. To achieve this, Ptah-Depi makes use of the following postulation. If similarity between any two words is to be minimized, the words must be formed by the least probable combination of letters. Any Ptah-Depi word must differ by at least 60% of its letters from any other word of the same length. Thus, for example, out of all the possible five-letter combinations of the 26 letters of our alphabet, and these are 11,881,376, only 432 combinations can be found which differ from each other by three letters, i.e., by 60% of the total. Hence, it is clear that in Ptah-Depi there often occur words which are very long indeed.
Sir?
Yes?
Would you please tell us which is the longest word in Ptah-Depi?
Certainly. It is the word meaning a wombat, which has 319 letters. But let us proceed. The vocabulary of Ptah-Depi is built according to an entirely logical principle. The more common the meaning, the shorter the word. Thus, for example, the most commonly used term so far known, that is the term whatever, is rendered by the word gh. As you can see, it is a word consisting of only two letters. There exists, however, an even shorter word, that is f. But this does not yet carry any meaning. I wonder if any of you can tell me why. Oh. Well?
Sir?
Well, Mr. Thumb?
It's being held in reserve in case science should discover a term even more commonly used than the term whatever.
Correct, Mr. Thumb. You get an A.
Good morning.
Morning.
I've dropped in to get acquainted with the activities of the Translation Centre. I'm the Managing Director.
So you're the Managing Director?
Yes, Joseph Gross.
Very glad to meet you. Sorry I didn't recognise you. I've been here only a very short time, and so I still haven't met everybody. My name's Stroll, Head of Translation Centre. Do sit down. Everything here is still, so to speak, at the nappy stage.
I understand.
Well, we're still grappling with a great many teething troubles. Tell me, exactly what would you like to find out?
Well, I should like to see how you've organised the process of making translations. Do you do them while one waits?
We'll make a translation from Ptah-Depi, while you wait, for any member of our organisation who is a citizen of our country and has an authorisation to have a Ptah-Depi text translated.
Does one need a special authorisation?
Morning, Otto. Have you heard that there's goose for lunch today?
What? Did you say goose?
That's what the chaps in the secretariat said. I'll pick you up on the way to the canteen, right?
Right. The sooner the better. I love goose, you know. Now, what were we talking about?
Well, you were saying that one needs an authorisation to get a translation made.
Right. Well, now, look here. We, the staff, do use Ptah-Depi, but we're no experts. Well, let's face it, we're no linguists, are we? So, naturally, the exploitation and development of Ptah-Depi cannot be left only in our hands. Excuse me. Back in a moment.
Was Alex here?
I don't know who that is.
Yeah, you're not part of this shop, love.
No, on the contrary, I'm the managing director.
Are you, love? Oh, well, you must do something about this snack bar. I mean it. It's a bloody shame. See how girls traipse miles for a cup of tea. It really is. Does anyone think about people in this shop?
And who, may I ask, are you?
I'm the chairman, but you can call me Nellie.
Chairman of what, if you give my asking?
Of what? I don't know what just yet. As a matter of fact, we're having a meeting about that very thing this afternoon. But I'm already so bloody busy, I don't know which way to turn. See you later, chum.
Chum?
Sorry about that. You were saying you don't like goose.
I do like goose. Now, you were saying that this new language cannot be left only in your hands.
All right. And that's why every department which starts to introduce Ptah-Depi is assigned a special methodician, a so-called Ptah-Depist, who, being a specialist, is supposed to ensure that Ptah-Depi gets used correctly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, our Ptah-Depist fulfills this task by issuing for every translation a special authorization, which enables him to record all outgoing translations from Ptah-Depi.
So, if I've understood you correctly, you give a translation only to those staff members who can produce an authorization from your Ptah-Depist.
Right.
Are you ready, Otto?
Where's my knife and fork, Maria?
Here, Mr. Stroll.
Who is your Ptah-Depist?
Have they been washed up?
Of course they have.
What did you say?
Who is your potatopist?
Well, Dr. Savant here.
Oh, how do you do? I'm Joseph Gross. I'm managing director.
How do you do? Alex Savant, the graduate potatopist.
I'd like a word with you, Dr. Savant.
You're going to ask for breast?
Sorry, Mr. Gross, but we really must go and have our lunch now. Shouldn't want to miss it. You know, I prefer leg.
Maria, would you go and see if Mr. Langer is having his lunch today? If not, ask whether he'd mind sending me his voucher.
Dr. Savant.
Well, that way I could have breast and leg, eh?
Yes, Mr. Strong.
Not bad, eh?
What?
Sexy little thing, isn't she, Maria?
Rather pleasant. Dr. Savant.
Oh, sexy? Come off it.
Yes?
I understand you can authorise the making of a translation.
Yes, for those who bring me their documents.
What do you mean? What sort of documents?
Personal registration.
Why do you need a personal registration document?
We must have detailed information about everybody who comes in contact with Potidopy in order to get the greatest possible variety of sociological and psychological data.
Wouldn't it be enough if a chap just told you himself everything you want to know about him?
That wouldn't guarantee that everything was hut-put.
I beg your pardon?
Hut-put. That's Potidopy for quite exact.
I'm sorry, but it appears that Mr. Langer will definitely be eating his lunch today.
Pity.
Excuse me, Dr. Savant. You were speaking about the advantages of a personal registration document.
Yes. Well, now, the personal registration documents often record things which even the particular employee doesn't know about himself.
So, to sum up, you'll authorise a translation only for those members of staff who can produce their documents. All right. Where does one get them?
Hello, everybody!
Hello, everyone! Hello, everyone!
Do you know whose birthday it is? Eddie Climent's!
It is? Is it?
Yeah, there's a do going on from next door, so drop everything and come along. Maria, it seems the grocer's got limes. Would you mind running over and getting me eight?
Very well, Miss Helena.
What are they drinking?
Vodka!
Did you hear that, Otto? A spot of goose first, eh?
Right. You haven't told me yet where one gets those documents.
Why, right here, from our chairman. From Nelly, of course.
Miss Helena.
What?
I'd just like a word with you.
Oh, later, love. You'll have to wait.
Here?
Where else?
Oh, you mean you don't mind leaving me here alone with all the classified material and all that?
You won't be alone. There's a chink in the wall, love. You're being watched by our staff watcher.
Good gracious. Through a chink?
Yes. You see, his cubicle is surrounded by offices, and each is furnished with an observation chink. So all he has to do is to walk at random, watch from one to another, and peer.
Interesting idea.
Isn't it, love? That's my idea, too. See you later, chum.
Where on earth can he be?
Don't bother. The chink is well disguised.
I should say it is. I can't see you at all, old chap. A really stimulating idea.
Oh, excuse me.
What's the matter?
I forgot my purse.
Miss?
Yes?
Do you know Potidopy?
A bit.
Can you translate it?
I'm strictly forbidden to make any translations before I've passed my exams.
But on my authority, you might try to make a translation, mightn't you? It doesn't have to be perfect, you know.
Oh, you don't understand. It's impossible.
What's your name?
Maria.
Maria? A pretty name.
Do you like it?
Very much. Maria, just for once. Nobody will know about it.
Mr. Gross, somebody might walk in any minute. Please be reasonable.
Oh, go on, sweetheart.
And what about the staff watcher?
Well, you could whisper the translation to me.
The limes will soon be sold out and Miss Helena will be angry. Bye.
Mr. Watcher? Mr. Watcher? Listen, Mr. Watcher, can you hear me? Have you got a cigarette? He must have fallen asleep.
What do you mean, fallen asleep?
Well, why didn't you answer me?
I wanted to test you out.
I beg your pardon. Do you realise who I am? The managing director.
Herbuck Bulligan.
I beg your pardon?
Herbuck Bulligan. Abrator.
What do you mean by that?
Not a put.
I won't put up with any abuse from you. I expect you to come to me and apologise.
Gottrock.
Well, Mr. Gross?
Well?
The hour has passed. Ready to be more sensible now?
Certainly not.
As you may have noticed, the introduction of Potidopy into our organisation successfully proceeds. What are you going to do about it?
Put a stop to it.
Mr. Gross, may I go and get the chocolates?
How?
By issuing an order that the introduction be stopped and its use cancelled.
You cannot. The introduction's in full swing and it cannot be stopped now.
Mr. Gross, may I go and get the chocolates?
Will you run along?
In that case, I'll have to report the whole matter to the authorities.
Did you hear that, Mr. P? He doesn't know that the authorities have taken a great fancy to our Potidopy.
I hope you don't expect me to be a traitor to my beliefs.
I do.
And how do you propose to make me?
Do you see this book? Not long ago, it was improperly authenticated by your order, although it had not been registered by the purchasing department, and thus was your own property. Do you know what that constitutes? Abuse of authority.
Good God! Don't you make yourself sick? You yourself got me to sign it.
I did. I don't seem to remember.
By your hints about rumours concerning that damned rubber stamp.
I wouldn't bring that up if I were you.
Why not?
Because it's no extenuating circumstance at all. Just the reverse, in fact. If it weren't for the affair of the rubber stamp, you might have claimed that you signed the authentication of this book moved by a sincere desire to help our clerical staff. While if you do bring up this motive now, you'll be admitting thereby that you signed it moved merely by petty cowardice so as to silence inquiries into the affair of the rubber stamp. Do you follow me?
I am beginning...
If, on the other hand, you hadn't signed it, you might have pretended that you were indeed taking the rubber stamp home for reasons of work, but your signature proves that you were clearly aware of your guilt. As you see, both your errors are intertwined in such an original way that the one greatly multiplies the other. Well, then, shall we come to an agreement?
All right. I'll resign.
But we don't want you to.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Sign the supplementary order for the introduction and the use of pitidepi in our organization.
Are you sure that pitidepi will really make office communications more precise?
I'm glad our discussion is at last reaching a realistic level. You yourself know best how many misunderstandings can be contained in one single sentence of a natural language. In fact, a natural language endows many more or less precise terms, such as, for example, the term colored, with so many wrong, let's say emotional, overtones that they can entirely distort the innocent and eminently human content of these terms. Now, tell me sincerely, has the word mutarex any such overtones for you?
Well, it hasn't,
has it, you see?
You have convinced me. Have the supplementary order for the introduction of pitidepi in our organization typed and bring it to me for signature.
Mr. Cross, we are overjoyed that you've grasped the demands of the times. We are looking forward to our further work in the organization under your expert and enlightened leadership. Here is the typed order you requested. I believe that from now on we'll be working very closely together.
We'll have to. Now, perhaps at the beginning we shan't be able to avoid directing the organization, so to speak, hand in hand.
I have a better idea. What about me being the director and you my deputy? Won't that make things much easier?
But you said, didn't you, that you were looking forward to working under my expert and enlightened leadership.
You will be able to use your expertise and enlightenment just as well as a deputy. I'll go and get my things, while you, Mr. Gross, will kindly move out of my desk.
Historically, the natural languages originated in all probability through the development of the inarticulate shrieks by which a primitive creature expressed his basic reactions to the surrounding world. The very oldest group of words is thus the interjections. I'd like to demonstrate to you, through the pitidepi renderings of the interjection boo, how rich and precise the language is, even in this marginal sphere.
But, sir...
What is it?
I do hate to interrupt you, but I happen to have with me a little pitidepi text, and I was wondering if it might not be a good thing to acquaint our colleagues here with the actual shape of pitidepi. Perhaps if you read it aloud and then possibly translated it, it might be of some interest to the class.
As regards a sample of an actual pitidepi text, I've prepared my own authorized specimen. However, for the sake of variety, I'm quite prepared to read your text as well. You may sit down. Generally speaking, the interjection boo is used in the daily routine of an office, a company, a large organization, when one employee wants to sham ambush another. In those cases where the endangerment of an employee who is in full view and quite unprepared for the impending peril is being shammed by an employee who is himself hidden, boo is rendered by gedinrilum. The word osumftata is used in substantially the same situation when, however, the imperiled employee is aware of the danger. Egg gingia trujaris is used when an employee who has not taken the precaution or the time or the trouble to hide wants to sham ambush another employee who is also in full view, in which case it is meant as a joke. Egg jehet guts is used in substantially the same situation when, however, it is meant in earnest. Yasista etordif is used by a superior wishing to test out the vigilance of a subordinate. Yixap seror nudgets is used, on the contrary, by the subordinate towards a superior, but only on the days specially appointed for this purpose. And now let me see if you've been paying attention. Who can tell us how one says boo in Patidopi when a hidden employee wants to sham ambush another employee who is in full view and quite unprepared for the danger?
Sir?
Mr. Thumb.
Gadidrilum.
Correct. And when the imperiled employee is aware of the danger, you?
Danger menacing an employee who was in full view?
Yes.
Who was aware of the danger?
Yes.
And the perpetrator is hidden?
Yes.
Ah, yes, I see. Well, in that case, one says, oh, damn it, it was on the tip of my tongue.
Mr. Thumb, do you know?
Awesome tata.
There you are. You see how easy it is. Well, let's take another case, shall we? Let's see if you can tell us, for example, how does an employee who has not taken the precaution or the time or the trouble to hide say boo if he wants to sham ambush another employee who is also in full view when it is meant in earnest? You.
I'm afraid I don't know.
Let me help you. Egg.
Egg. Egg. Egg.
Jehet?
Yes, I do remember now. Egg Jehet.
Wrong. Mr. Thumb, would you mind telling him?
Egg Jehet. Coots.
Correct. Egg Jehet doesn't mean anything at all. Those are only two subwords of the word egg Jehet.
The third subword escaped me.
Unfortunately, the first two subwords also escaped you. Like all the other patidopi words which I was trying to teach you only a moment ago. One cannot avoid concluding that your particular inability to learn any patidopi words whatsoever stems from a profound and well-disguised doubt in its very sense. Under these circumstances, I don't see why I should oblige you by reading aloud and, what's more, translating an unauthorized text. Chazoop, patzook, botched.
Good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. Here are the lines, Miss Helena.
Thank you.
Miss Helena is next door.
Yes, they're celebrating Mr. Clyman's birthday.
Do you think she'd mind coming here for a moment?
Well, I'll ask. Mr. Gross?
Yes?
You're no longer the managing director.
No, I'm his deputy now.
Well, deputy director is also a very responsible position.
It is, isn't it? As a matter of fact, to a certain extent, it's even more responsible than the director's. Mm. Will Miss Helena come?
Well, you'll have to wait a little, I'm afraid.
Oh, Maria, come here a moment, will you?
Excuse me, Mr. Gross.
Yes. Mr. Watcher?
What is it?
Aren't you celebrating?
I'm following the party through the chink.
Does it look like being a long one?
Or have finished the vodka.
Have they?
Oh, but you were shy.
Where to start with? But then...
Come on, I'll bet you've made up that part about Jack Jajibu.
Oh, absolutely not. Down to the last letter.
Well, come off it, old boy.
Mind you, if it hadn't been for Kajufa Bizarre Gaffrey, which certainly Luhofra de Borok.
Does she actually...
I tell you, she can cockle splooder.
No.
Come on, everybody. Come on, let's have some coffee.
Oh, that's a thought. Where's Marie? Maria.
Our sexy little Maria. Mr. Gross might know. Don't try to deny it. You lust after her.
I beg your pardon?
You called her sweetheart. The staff watcher heard you.
Now, friends, Maria.
Maria.
I've just kissed the girl named Maria.
Hello, love. Come on, I'll make the coffee. Where'd you keep the percolator?
Miss Helena.
Why don't you call me Nellie, love? What is it?
Miss Nellie, do you issue the documents one needs to get a translation authorised?
Ghost vodka, that's what I call living.
Where'd you get water? What, Mr. Gross?
Do you issue the documents one needs to get a translation authorised?
Yes, to anybody who hasn't recently received a memo written in Bataidipi.
Why?
Where do you keep the cups?
Coming. Here's the water.
Why this condition?
Because I cannot be expected to give the documents of personal registration to every Tom, Dick and Harry without making damn sure they don't conflict with the findings of the last inventory in his blessed memo.
Well, why can't you look at his memo and see what it says?
Sugar, Maria! Red wine. I'm forbidden to translate any Pataidipi texts.
It's almost empty, dear.
There's another back in the drawer.
Good gracious, what can a staff member do in such a case?
In the drawer?
Yes.
What
can a staff member do in such a case?
He can have his memo translated.
Listen, everybody. Today, your coffee's Hype Nagip.
Nagip Avalix.
Nagip Hevasut.
Mrs. Stroll.
Hevasut Kugit and Axius.
And Ax Beljok and Axiusert.
In order to make a translation from Pataidipi, you require an authorization from Dr. Seven.
Ax Tutzak, not it?
Dr. Seven.
Gavich Edgich, Lagerax. Yes?
Lagerax Nagip.
In order to grant authorization, you require the documents from Miss Helena.
Nevolde Abagen.
Miss Helena.
Abagen Farfor, yes?
Fudge for new. Ratchet.
In order to issue the documents, we require that the staff member have his memorandum translated.
Ratchaj Gun.
Gun Nazvep.
Nazvep, eat!
Eat Ratchaj!
Ratchaj Gun!
Gun Snoopsnap!
Speak quiet! I am the deputy director, and I insist that you show me some respect. You may sit down. Oh, very well then, stand. As I've just discovered, any staff member who's recently received a memorandum in Pataidipi can only be granted a translation of a Pataidipi text after his memorandum has been translated. But what happens if a Pataidipi text, which he wishes translated, is precisely that memorandum? It can't be done because it hasn't yet been translated officially. In other words, the only way to learn what's in one's memo is to know it already. I ask you, what must an employee of our organisation, whoever he may be, do in order to escape this vicious, vicious circle?
He must learn Pataidipi, Mr. Gross. You may sit down.
Yeah. Are you here?
Yes, we are.
Have you been here long?
Not long.
I didn't hear you come in.
We entered quietly.
Excuse me, I...
There are things, Mr. Gross, that cannot be excused. And when, at the very time in which the whole organization is conducting a courageous struggle for the introduction of Pataidipi, an official, referring to the activities of our employees, speaks with such malicious innuendo about, I quote, a vicious, vicious circle, then it cannot be excused at all.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ballas. I plead guilty. I acknowledge the entire extent of my guilt. I request for myself the most severe punishment.
I think that under these circumstances, it is no longer possible for him to remain in our organization. What do you say, Mr. P? Certainly not. Come to my office tomorrow morning. We'll settle the formalities connected with your dismissal. George, come out of there. You'll be my deputy.
Thank you very much, sir.
You may leave now, Mr. Gross. Mr. P, let's go. What's this? Ak ok utu de okoked yul umobert eusum.
Good morning.
Oh, you're here.
I haven't been here long.
What do you want?
Mr. Ballas, I was supposed to come to your office today concerning my dismissal from our organization.
I'm busy now. Come back later. In a while.
I'm sorry. Thank you. I'll come back later.
Good morning.
Morning. Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Ballas.
You know Pataidipi, don't you?
I'm sorry, I don't.
Why not? I thought you'd been going to the classes.
I used to, but I had to give them up.
Why?
It makes great demands on one's memory, Mr. Ballas.
But others can learn it.
Very few can, Mr. Ballas. Most of the staff have had to give it up. You dropped out, Mr. Ballas, after the first lesson.
That's quite different. I had to interrupt my studies for reasons of work.
But Tidypi really makes great demands on people. Besides, they say it's based on doubtful principles. May I go and get the milk?
Who says that?
Mr. Pillar here.
Surely not Mr. Pillar. And if by any chance he did say such a thing, it was just in fun. Who of the staff actually knows Pididipi?
Only the teacher and the personnel of the translation centre. May I go and get the milk?
There you are. And then you tell me that it's beyond human powers to learn it.
May I go and get the milk?
Oh, run along. Pillar.
Uh-huh.
You talk too much.
Good morning.
You're here again.
You said, Mr. Ballas, that I should come back in a while.
In a while. By that I didn't mean such a short while.
I'm sorry. I'll come later. Sorry.
No, listen.
Yes, Mr. Ballas?
I just wanted to say that I seem to have overdone it a bit yesterday. My nerves were a bit ruffled after all that happened.
Oh, thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. But the dismissal stands, doesn't it?
Dismissal? Well, for the moment, perhaps we needn't take such drastic measures. You can't be my deputy, of course.
Of course.
But there is an opening.
Is there? To do what?
The position of staff watcher has become free.
Very kind of you, Mr. Ballas. When may I start?
At once, if you like.
Well, thank you, Mr. Ballas. Thank you very much.
Good morning, Mr. Gross.
Good morning.
Hannah, who else says that Pididipi is based on doubtful principles?
All except you, Mr. Ballas.
What else do they say?
That it's only a matter of time before you find it out, too.
Indeed. Couldn't you at least make out what this is all about?
Well, it could either be a memorandum concerning the last inventory.
Hardly.
Or a protest.
Why should it be a protest, of all things?
It's being rumoured that protests written in Pididipi get preferential treatment.
Where did you hear all this?
Oh, in the dairy shop this morning.
If anybody has decided to lodge a protest, then I'm off to lunch.
Oh, you'll like it, Mr. Ballas. They have goulash in the canteen today.
Maria?
Oh.
It's only me, Gross.
Oh, but where are you?
Oh, I'm the staff watcher now.
You? Oh, no.
Yes. Mr. Ballas dropped my dismissal. He's letting me work here for a trial period.
You? Staff watcher?
Well, in the circumstances, it really seems the best solution for me. I only wish I could get used to the lack of space. Maria?
Yes?
Isn't it odd? I have to look at you all the time.
Oh, Mr. Gross.
Maria! It seems the grocer's got limes. Would you mind running over and getting me eight?
Very well, Miss Helena. Won't be a minute.
Are you there?
But of course, Mr. Ballas.
Well, how goes it?
Very well, thank you.
Many strangers?
Only three visitors and number five.
Alone in the office?
One for a moment.
Behave.
Decently.
Anything else?
Sorry, but what else, precisely?
Well, for example, what sort of things are being said about Pididipi among the staff?
I'm sorry, Mr. Ballas, but how shall I put it? I'm not an... You know what I mean.
I know. You still haven't shaken off the shackles of outdated prejudices. Ah, just a moment, Strahl.
Hmm?
How goes the translating, old boy?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Tell me, how many texts have you translated so far?
Or into Pididipi or from Pididipi?
Well, let's say into Pididipi.
One. I'm just working on the second one now.
So few?
That's not so few.
Slow work, is it?
Oh, indeed it is. The shades of meaning of individual words in Pididipi are so subtle that most of the staff can't grasp them at all.
Well, what you'll have to do is to speed up your translating. The world won't come to an end if an occasional little word isn't exactly right.
Sorry, Mr. Ballas, I have a meeting now.
Well, then, go along.
Oh, hello, Alex.
Oh, Otto, you know there's goulash in the kitchen.
Alex, just one thing. Tell me, how is Pididipi actually making out? From the expert's point of view, I mean.
All right, I suppose. Except that Pididipi has started to assume some of the characteristics of a natural language. Various emotional overtones, imprecisions, ambiguities.
Did you say emotional overtones?
Mm.
But in that case, Petai Depi is losing its very purpose.
One may put it that way.
Well, what can be done about it?
Practically nothing. I'm sorry, Mr. Banners. Do you mind if I go now? I have a meeting.
Oh, well then, go along. Mr. Gross.
Yes, Mr. Banners?
I hope you aren't taking seriously what occurred yesterday. Listen, why don't I call you Joe? Shall I?
Oh, but of course, Mr. Banners, I'd be delighted.
I say, old boy, come out of there. You don't want to be doing that sort of work. You! I don't see why you shouldn't carry on as my deputy.
After what happened?
We must take some risks, damn it. I won't hear of your being abused in this way. Joe, we're having some difficulties at present. Petai Depi isn't doing as well as it might be.
Yes, I've heard.
Well, the way things are now, I simply need you here. Joe.
Yes, Mr. Ballas?
Sit down. Listen, Joe, you and I between us, we'll pull things together again. If we two work hand in hand, I'll bet you anything you like, we'll hammer out something damn well astonishing. We'll map out a little plan so we know how to go about it all. Who should I rely on here if not on you, old boy?
But I...
And now fetch George and tell him to march back into his cubicle. He's already proved himself in the job, and he must see that now, in the high positions, what we need above all is specialists.
Yes, Mr. Ballas.
Ah, Otto. Yeah? You still haven't told me about your translations from Petai Depi.
Well, so far, I haven't translated anything from Petai Depi.
Why not?
Well, up till now, nobody's brought me any authorization from Alex.
Alex, why do you refuse to authorize translations?
Oh, but I can't authorize them without personal registration documents.
Ah, Nelly. You mean in all this time nobody has brought you any documents from Nelly?
That's right.
Nelly, why do you refuse to issue those damn documents?
Oh, for heaven's sake, love, I can't issue them until I've made sure they don't conflict with the decisions in the memos. And I can't learn the decisions because the blessed memos are written in Petai Depi. And as you bloody well know, I'm forbidden to make any translation whatsoever. Hasn't that girl brought my limes yet?
Then why doesn't Otto translate the memo?
Well, I can translate only after getting an authorization from Alex.
Then Alex will have to start granting the authorization.
I can't if nobody has the documents from Nelly.
Do you hear that, Nelly? You'll have to start giving people the documents regardless.
But I'm not permitted to translate.
Well, why doesn't Otto do the translating?
Well, I can translate only after getting an authorization from Alex.
Then Alex will have to start granting the authorization.
I can't when nobody has the documents from Nelly.
Do you hear that, Nelly? You'll have to start giving people the documents regardless.
But I'm not permitted to translate.
I'd like to know who thought up this vicious circle.
You did, Mr. Ballas.
Well, what of it? The situation was entirely different at that time. I propose the following simplifications in the procedure of translating all Petai Depi texts. These will come into effect at once. First, Helena is permitted to issue the personal registration documents without knowing the contents of the memos. Second, Alex is permitted to authorize all translations without the personal registration documents. Third, Otto is permitted to translate without an authorization from Alex. Is that quite clear? And now, translate that for me.
A protest. We, the undersigned staff of the accounts department, protest most emphatically against the transfer of our offices to the cellar, and we would...
That's
like...
enough! That's enough! You may carry on with your work.
Mr. Gross, do you realise what would happen to you if anybody saw you here?
I'm no longer the staff watcher.
Oh?
Mr. Ballas has made me his deputy again.
Oh, congratulations.
Good gracious, what for? Frankly, I'd rather have remained staff watcher.
Mr. Gross?
Yes?
Has anybody translated for you that, you know, the thing you wanted to have translated yesterday?
The memorandum? No. And according to current regulations, nobody can. Well, it's probably better that way.
Do you think it's a negative one?
I've always learned to expect the worst.
If your conscience is clear, you've nothing to fear. Your innocence will be proved, but you have to fight for it. I believe that if one doesn't give way, truth must always come out in the end.
Now, what do you know about the world, dear child? Still, you're right. One really ought to stand firm. Trouble is, I've never been very firm. More of a dreamer rather than a man of action. That's my bad luck.
Have you the memo with you?
You mean...
Well, surely you wouldn't...
Oh, I'm quite grown up, thank you, Mr. Gross. I know what I'm doing. Give it to me. Dear sir, the last inventory in your department has shown that the allegation of a repeated appropriation of the bank endorsement stamp for improper use is, in your case, entirely unfounded. On the contrary, we feel obliged to emphasize the very positive findings of the inventory, which clearly prove that you have been conscientious in the directing of your organization and that you therefore merit full confidence. This is further confirmed by your stand as regards Potidopi, which has been quite unequivocal from the beginning. Our view of the Potidopi campaign has always been entirely negative, and we suggest that you liquidate with the greatest possible resolution and speed any attempt to introduce Potidopi into your organization, and that you severely punish all those who have been propagating Potidopi for their own personal advantage. Wishing you all success in your further work, we remain yours faithfully, signature illegible.
Thank you, Maria. Now at last I have an opportunity to prove that I have more civil courage than I've shown so far. I promise you that this time I shall not give way to anything or anybody, even at the risk of my position.
I like you.
First, I must deserve your sympathy, dear child.
That was a stupid thing to do, Maria.
Oh, God, are you there?
I came back a moment ago, and I'm not sorry I did. I hope you realise why.
Ballas, your era is over. My memorandum has just been translated to me, and its contents make it perfectly clear that I'm the only legitimate director of this organization. Furthermore, I'm requested by it to make an end of Potidopi with the greatest possible resolution and speed.
Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Ballas.
Isn't it time for you to get your chocolates?
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, then, run along. Sorry. What did you say?
Furthermore, I'm requested by it to make an end of Potidopi with the greatest speed and to punish severely all those who were engaged in its introduction for their own advantage. In other words, history has proved me right.
In a minute, Mr. P. What did you say?
In other words, history has proved me right. The way in which you seized the entire organization and forced this language on it cries for vengeance. I'm a humanist and my concept...
I got you some cigarettes, oh, Mr. Ballas.
Thanks, Hannah. What did you say?
I'm a humanist, and my concept of directing this organization derives from the idea that every single member of the staff is human and must become more and more human. I place the struggle for the victory of reason and of moral values above a peace brought by their loss. I think that under the circumstances, it's no longer possible for you to remain in our organization. Kindly move out of my desk.
Very well, but let's say after lunch, all right?
You mean you agree with me?
Of course.
Good gracious, how so?
I've seen the light.
Have you?
Absolutely. I'll help you to the limits of my human, humble abilities.
How do you mean you'll help me?
Well, as your deputy, of course.
No, I'm sorry. But I've made up my mind not to give way this time. I don't propose to repeat my old mistakes.
Come, come. Didn't I let you stay on as my deputy?
Now, that doesn't change by one iota the fact that you are the chief culprit. So you must get the severest punishment. You'll simply have to pack up and get out.
And if I don't?
You will.
Take it easy, old boy. Recognize that. It's the supplementary order for the introduction of Potidopi, and if I'm not mistaken, it's signed by you, not by me. Or were you not the managing director at the time? Well, then, who is the chief culprit? Yes, Mr. P, give me another minute, will you? Well?
That one signature is insignificant. It's nothing in comparison with what you've done.
Trouble is, history only knows signatures.
Besides, it was you who got me to sign it.
I did. But I don't seem to remember.
By that trick about the authentication of the copybook.
I wouldn't bring that up if I were you.
Why not?
Because it's no extenuating circumstance at all. Just the reverse, in fact.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, don't you? Well, look here, old boy.
If it weren't for the affair of the copybook, you might have claimed that you signed the order moved by a sincere belief in your principles. While if you do bring up this motive now, you'll be admitting thereby that you signed the order moved merely by petty cowardice. So, as to avoid a piddling punishment for the copybook, you didn't hesitate to plunge the whole organization into the jaws of the present catastrophe. Do you follow me?
All right. Let's both resign.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't see why I should.
And you would really sincerely help me in everything?
I'm glad our discussion is at last reaching a realistic level. Of course I would.
Yes, but somebody has got to get the axe. You know how people are.
Leave that to me. Ready now, Mr. P.
At last.
You may begin.
Dear sir, the delegation under the leadership of Mr. Pillar now comes to warn you against the consequences of any further propagation of Potidopy.
Dear friends, I know only too well, perhaps even better than you, how desperate is the situation we've reached with Potidopy. And I assure you that it has cost me many a sleepless night. As your former managing director, I also accept the greatest share of the blame for the whole affair. We meant well, but we did wrong. In accordance with the directives from the authorities, I've resigned as your managing director, and I have passed this position to the man who, as you'll surely agree, is best qualified for it, Mr. Joseph Gross. Mr. Gross, who throughout the era of Potidopy remained loyal to and even suffered for his convictions. I myself have received with gratitude from the hands of Mr. Gross the position of his deputy. And now let me give the platform to Mr. Gross.
Well, what can I add? I'm not angry with you. I know you meant well. Let us lose no more words over it. What is at stake now is the future.
We are sorry, but we cannot be satisfied with such a brief explanation. We were deceived, and we have the right to know who has deceived us.
Will you answer this point?
Yes. Friends, we are all guilty.
That is only a hollow phrase.
We want to know the actual persons.
The names.
All right, then, I'll tell you. You've all surely noticed that for some time now there has been prowling about our offices a mysterious, silent man whose real function in our organization has never been known to us. I myself have come to know this man very well, because I've been under his direct surveillance. He pried into every nook and cranny, was always present and always abusing your honest trust, and averting from himself all suspicion by assuming the mask of a critical attitude towards Potidopy. I refer, of course, to Mr. Pillar.
Death to all artificial languages! Long live natural human speech! Long live man!
Well. Come in.
Welcome, Mr. C. Come in. This is Mr. Collum.
Well, now then, let me conclude. I appeal to you to put all your best efforts into the struggle for the re-establishment of natural human language, of our beloved mother tongue.
Wait a moment, Joe. Our colleagues are surely tired by now. We can talk tomorrow about what happens next. Now, let me suggest that we all go and have lunch together. Who's in favour?
That's an idea.
Bravo.
Let's all meet in a quarter of an hour at the translation centre.
Yes, all right. I wonder what's on the menu today.
Things do seem to be moving rather fast.
Mr. Gross.
There was nothing else I could do. An open conflict would have meant that I'd be finished. This way, as managing director, at least I can salvage this and that.
Mr. Gross.
What is it?
May I go and get my lunch?
Run along. Why can't I be a little boy again? I'd do everything differently from the beginning. Mr. Ballas.
Yes?
What on earth does it mean?
What?
Another artificial language is being taught here.
Charu Kaur.
But we agreed, didn't we, that office communications are again to be conducted in our mother tongue?
I don't recall we agreed on anything of the sort.
But my memorandum clearly states...
As far as I remember, it states nothing about what language is now to be used here. Am I not right, Mr. C?
Uh-huh.
But I understood that...
Then you understood wrong. I don't want to meddle in the business of the managing director, but when I see you're clearly fumbling and could easily come into conflict with the opinion of most of the staff, then I'm sorry, but I have to interfere.
Look, wouldn't it make things easier if you carried on as managing director and I as your deputy?
Not on your life. Mr. C, they're still at it over there. Let's go.
Joseph?
Yes?
You didn't tell me the Watcher had come back.
Well?
He saw and heard everything.
Everything? What?
Well, that I translated your memo.
Well?
Well, he told on me and I was fired on the spot because I'd translated an important Potidopi text before passing my exams.
But the use of Potidopi has been cancelled.
Well, Mr. Ballas said that's beside the point. A rule is a rule, he said. What guarantee is there, he said, that I wouldn't someday make an important translation from Chorakur as well?
What are you going to do?
Well, I hate to bother you, but couldn't you perhaps cancel his decision or perhaps at least put in a kind word for me?
Maria, my dear, you can't begin to guess how happy I would be if I could do for you what you've just asked me to do. But the desire to help you fatefully encounters within me the responsibility thrust upon me by the permanent menace to our organization from the side of Mr. Ballas and his men. A responsibility so binding that I absolutely may not risk the loss of position on which it is based by any open conflict. Besides, there's no point in further complicating my already complicated situation by taking too tragic a view of your prospects. Let's try to be quite matter-of-fact about it, shall we? You're still quite young. You have a whole life ahead of you. You've lost nothing so far. Chin up, my girl. Keep smiling. I know it's absurd, dear Maria, but I must go and have my lunch. So, goodbye. Be good.